purpose of the weekend, concentration has been given on various parts of the mission field. You will not have had the benefit of that, not having been perhaps at the weekend. But we've been to Africa, we've been to Nepal, we're thinking about what the Lord has been doing there. And we've also been to the south of Ireland, and we're thinking about the home front, especially tonight when we have one of our own home missionaries with us tonight to bring the message of God. And I refer to our brother, Mr. Chris Killen. We do appreciate the work that he does, despite all the discouragements that you will get in this kind of ministry when you're working with those with addiction. Anyone that's been involved in that, you know what I'm talking about tonight. And Chris has introduced us over the years to different parts of this ministry. And we know how difficult it can be at times. But the Lord is in it, and the Lord is blessed, and people have been delivered, and they've been saved by grace. And we're glad that Chris is here tonight, and we're going to ask him to come now and preach the word and talk to us. We pray that the blessing of God will be upon this part of our service.
We're going to turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 25, please. Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to break into the chapter, commencing to read from the verse 11. Whilst you're turning up the portion, let me thank the Reverend Park for the words of welcome. I want to also thank the Missionary Council for the invitation for myself, my family to come the weekend. We've been truly blessed. We've been encouraged. It's been a tremendous time of fellowship. Our hearts have been stirred. We've really enjoyed the preaching. Mind you, I'd rather be sitting listening to preaching this evening. But the Lord has really drawn close, and it's been a very special weekend. So I want to thank you for giving us the invitation to come and to share with you at this time. Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to read from the verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and rain, or wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbour's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbour is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and is vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. If an enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Amen. We trust indeed that the Lord will bless to us a public reading of his own precious word. Tonight we're going to consider the words of verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. With God's word open, let's just bow briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee this evening for the privilege that is ours to meet together in such fashion. We want to thank thee for the old hymns of Zion. We praise thee for the message of Jesus and his love. And our God and Father, it is our prayer this evening that we might hear thy speaking voice. We know that here is the means whereby God doth now speak to man by the written word of God. Lord, grant to us ears to hear. Grant to us a heart prepared, ready to receive thy truth. And our God, it is our prayer and desire that in all things Christ would be exalted and have the preeminence. Speak to saint and sinner alike. We pray for any who are not converted, that this very evening, that thou wilt so work in their hearts, that thou wilt grant the gifts of faith and repentance, that they would come and seek and find the Lord. Hear and answer prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On July 10th, 1913, the world's highest temperature was recorded. It was a blistering 134 degrees Fahrenheit. Translated into degrees that we would understand, 56.7 degrees Celsius. By the way, the hottest on record for Northern Ireland is around about 30 degrees Celsius. So that's nearly twice the temperature. That hot temperature that was recorded at a place called Furnace Creek Ranch in Death Valley, situated in eastern California in the United States. And yet, despite being the hottest place on earth, Death Valley, with its unforgiving wilderness, its temperatures, a great expanse of desert, despite all of those factors, an estimated 1 million people per year travel to and through Death Valley. I read the account of three ladies who traveled to that particular region. 3 days later, and 300 miles on, out of gas. They were not only out of gas and out of water, but they were at the place of being out of hope. Death Valley itself is a 3,000 miles square arid region, with soaring temperatures. The average annual rainfall is 2.5 inches. There are many months in the year when there is no rain. There is no water whatsoever. And yet, a lady taking two others with her, and this lady should have known better, because she was from a town situated just some 60 miles away from the entrance to Death Valley National Park. This lady took her 17-year-old daughter and another visitor with her on a trip to Death Valley. She suggested that they would go to a corner of Death Valley, to Scotty's Castle. And there, the lady set off on their journey, following not only directions of the maps, but also they had plugged into their GPS, the sat-nav, they had programmed the coordinates in. It seemed to be a flawless plan. They had ample amount of water, blankets, and different things with them. But after some 10 miles,
with an outside temperature of 125 degrees, they soon found that they were lost. They began to reprogram the coordinates back into the sat-nav. They needed to get back to their starting point. Take a left, take a right, go down this lane, follow this road. But they soon found that they were lost in Death Valley. They spent some 3 days there on numerous occasions, whilst they had, of course, power left in their cell phones, their mobile phones. They made 911 calls, but there was no reception. They were lost. They were without hope. Their water supply soon ran dry. Now, they managed to find an old trailer, and they went into that trailer, but they found very little supplies whatsoever. Basically, it was somewhere for them to get out of the temperature. But the news came one day in the form of a helicopter, a state patrol. Friends of the three ladies became concerned about their whereabouts, that they hadn't returned. And they heard with ecstatic joy the noise there above them of the blades off that helicopter. They had been found. Found in a wilderness. Found in a place where they had been lost. Can I say that every man and woman, every boy and girl has a greater need? Because man by his very nature is lost in the wilderness of sin. He has a greater need to be found ere it be too late. Praise God tonight for the mission of Christ. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He has come to rescue, to save lost, guilty sinners. But the Word of God reminds us not only of the mission of Christ, but also of the mandate of the church to take the gospel. Here the Lord has commissioned us that we might take the gospel to both those at home and abroad. On each of the evenings during our weekend at the missionary council meetings, we've been challenged with the need of the mission front, both at home and abroad. Places such as Kenya and Nepal and other regions. References were made, especially last night, to great missionaries, pioneer missionaries, such as William Carey, known as the founding father of modern missions. Men like Robert Moffat, David Livingstone. We think of others like Amy Carmichael, Mary Slessor. Those who left home and family, who went to a faraway land. And of course they went with the good news of the gospel. Praise God, there will be that day coming. There is a coming day when multitudes from every kindred and nations and peoples and tongues will be gathered together in glory in heaven. There to forever be with the Lord. They've embraced the gospel. They've heard their need of Christ of as Savior. The good news, you see, came to them from a far country. The message was brought, and it was brought, and it was just like those cold waters to a thirsty soul. This evening, we're going to consider good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. First of all, I want you to consider with me the source of this good news. Now, we live in a day and generation when there is such a tremendous emphasis placed upon being up to date with the world news, with current affairs, with the news around us, with the advances in technology, especially the internet, access to current affairs, headlines, stories. It's all easily accessible. Do you know that some people actually have the headlines, breaking news stories, streamed to their phone, to their computer, that even while they're working, the headlines will pop up. They want to be kept up to date with the news. And yet, sadly and tragically, most of the news that we will hear and listen to, it's not good news. In fact, a lot of the front page stories, those breaking headlines, they focus upon scandal. It seems to be the greater the scandal, the better the news report. And oftentimes a lot of attention is given to such a story. Now, I don't want to mention any of those scandals in the United Kingdom, for instance, over the last few days, because automatically our minds will be redirected and taken over to them. Dr. Douglas, in our own church in Lisburn, many years ago, it must have been about 20 years ago, he was preaching a series in Ezekiel, and he mentioned one time, he made reference to the news, and he said it's good practice, and he said seek it to make your practice not to listen to news on the Lord's Day. And he said the reason is that oftentimes that news that you will hear, it won't be good news, but your mind will be taken over with it, and that will not be conducive for worship. It won't prepare your heart to come into the presence of God. So he was basically saying, switch the radio off. Don't listen to the news. The majority of that news is bad. Of course, we can't believe all that the news reports that come out. We can't believe all that the press publishes. Stories and scandals have come out. They've proven to be misleading, inaccurate, fictitious. However, I want you to consider this evening the greatest news that mortal ears will ever hear, the great news of Christ and his love, the good news of the gospel. Praise God with this book. The gospel is accurate. It is reliable. The Lord Jesus spoke of that fact that thy word is truth. The Apostle Paul writing said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is trustworthy. It is infallible. It has that reliable source because it comes from God himself. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Lord choosing around 40 men to write down his words. And today we hold in our hands a copy of the inspired Word of God. That good news, the good news that we have in the form of the Word of God, it has come from a far country. It's come from the place of God's abode. It's come from heaven itself. Of course, to sinners, heaven is a very far away place. It's a far away land. That is because sin separates man from holy God. It alienates him. It puts him at a distance. You think of the prodigal son who left home, who left his father and family, to go out, and the Bible records that he went to a far away land. He was far away in his sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to Nicodemus one evening, said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you have had the first birth. You have had a human birth. Nicodemus, now you need a second birth. You need a spiritual birth. You need to become part of God's family. Just last week, Or should I say, last weekend we had a mission board seminar in our Crossgar church, and we were taking that seminar, Robert McConnell, Joyce Walsh, and myself, to basically help train up children's workers. And her sister Joyce, she was giving us an example of speaking to boys and girls, and she was basically saying to them about how we present the gospel and explaining to children very simply. And she used the chorus, "No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. And she placed an emphasis on the fact that we need to sing choruses that are biblical in content. What a great chorus. "You can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. And then she said, "You know, boys and girls, you can get to heaven without your teeth, you can get to heaven without your hair, without your possessions, but you can't get to heaven without salvation. You see, as a sinner, man stands condemned, lost, far away from God. Our iniquities have separated between us and God. And the good news is this, that Christ has come into the world to save sinners." The source of the good news, it's from that faraway land. There's also here the substance of the good news. The good news for lost, fallen, sinful man is a message of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The good news is all about Christ. It focuses upon the Savior. Christ is that good news. We think of the good news of the life of Christ. Brings us to consider that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What good news we have to proclaim. The virgin birth of our Savior. The one who is the God-man. The one who is God of every God, man of every man. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The good news for sinful man centers upon that life of Christ. That perfect life that he lived. That he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That he kept the law of God perfectly. That he never sinned. That he lived a life of perfect obedience before men and unto God. The Lord Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Brings us not only to consider the good news of his life, but also the good news of his love. That love that took him and brought him from the realms of glory. That love that compelled him and that brought him to the cross. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And praise God, tonight we have good news to tell you of the birth of the life of the death of Jesus Christ. What great news it is. What glorious news. There is a Savior from all sin. That Jesus suffered and he bled and he died. That he died the holy for us the unholy. That he might reconcile us, bring us to God. He died as the substitute. He took my place and he died for me. It's that message of life, of the life of Christ, of the love of Christ. It's a message of the liberty that Christ brings. For praise God, up from the grave he arose. That God accepted the sacrifice of his Son that was as a sweet-smelling Savior. You think of the message given to the women at the tomb. "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And tonight we have and we preach and we present our risen Christ. One who has triumphed over death, hell, sin, and the grave. One who is able to break the power of canceled sin, set the prisoner free. Dear friend, tonight, wherever you are in the wilderness of sin, whatever point your life is at, we tell you tonight of a Christ who is able to save you, to deliver you, to set you free. The Word of God tells us also that good news about his ascension into glory. After those 40 days, he ascended bodily into heaven. Tells us about his intercession, that today he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Oh, what good news that Christ is coming again. He's coming back in power and in glory. We have the promise of God. In Proverbs chapter 25, in the verse 25, Solomon here is using what is termed as a simile. And he states, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. He compares the two. The good news of the gospel, it's likened to, it's compared to cold, thirst-quenching water. And so it is. In Scripture, we see a number of examples of those who were in need. Physically speaking, they were in great need. They were at the point of great thirst, at the very point of even death, and how the Lord provided for them. I'm just going to mention a couple for the sake of time. But in Judges chapter 15, we have the occasion of Samson. In Judges chapter 15, and the words of verse 15, here we're reading about Samson. And we're told, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And how the Lord was able to take up that very jawbone, and strengthen the arm of the man of God, and give a great victory. God uses the little things. And here we read, in the verse 17, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Samson here, he's at the very point of death. Such is his need for water. Such is his desire for that water. Verse 19, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkareh, which is in Lehi, unto this day. How God provided, and God met the need, physically speaking. In Genesis chapter 1, 21, we're not going to turn to the passage, but there you have the illustration, the example of Hagar with her young boy, taking the child and setting him over at a distance. She didn't want to hear the child cry. She didn't want to watch her son Ishmael die. But God heard the cry of the lad. God provided for their need. In Exodus chapter 15, you have the time whenever the children of Israel had left Egypt and they go out into the wilderness. And they've been traveling for 3 days and they came to the place called Marah, which means bitter. And they are the very people. They began to murmur, Moses, why did you bring us here? Why did we follow you? You've brought us to this place, and now we're going to die of thirst. We find there that the Lord showed Moses a tree and told him to take that tree and to cast it into the bitter waters. And whenever the tree was cast into the bitter waters, they were made sweet, and they provided for the needs of the people. That's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of Calvary. It's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished in the cross. That water that comes from Christ alone. That life-giving water. That soul-quenching water. That water that revives, it brings to life. That refreshes, it satisfies. That water that relieves. In fact, it is my favorite hymn. It is a hymn, Majestic Sweetness. And in one of the verses it reads, "He saw me plunged in deep despair. He flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross, and he suffered all my grief. Christ alone can meet your need. Christ alone is the remedy. We have good news for you this evening. And it is the message of Christ and his love." In closing, I want you to consider the scope of the good news from a far country. We've considered its source and its substance, but I want to just finish by looking very briefly at its scope. As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The good news that is proclaimed to all men and women throughout the world, that whosoever will may come. In the book of Isaiah and the chapter 55, we read here about the invitation to come to the Lord, to have your need met. Isaiah 55 in the verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And the good news from heaven tonight, from the far country, it is a good news that has a vast and a deep and a great and a wide scope. That men and women from all nations and kindreds and tongues, those who are Jews, those who are Gentiles, the religious, the irreligious, the rich, the poor, they may all come have their need met in Christ. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. In the Old Testament, we're not going to turn to the passage, but in closing, we have the account of a young Egyptian that was found in the field in 1 Samuel 30. And that young man was found by David's men, and he was brought to David. And we would expect that that young man, having robbed from David, having done despite to him, having treated his family so wickedly, so cruelly, that David would just draw his sword and put him to death. But that's not what happened. David is a wonderful picture of Christ in the passage, for he bestows grace upon the young man. He's merciful to him. We find there that the young man hadn't eaten for 3 days, nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. He's in great need. He's in the wilderness. He's about to die. He's about to perish. And then we have this statement. That he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And they gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And let me say, it was only once he had taken of that provision that he had availed himself of the resources there and the provision there, and he embraced it and he took it, that then his spirit revived and he did live. Sad to say, there are many, many people who rather to the contrary reject the free offer of the gospel. God says to men and women, come, for all things are now ready. And yet, sadly, so many tonight, they refuse, they reject, they cast off that invitation to come. My friend, you're out tonight in the wilderness of sin. You have a great need. Only Christ can meet that need. Only Christ can give you that life. He alone can provide for your need. Will you come? Will you partake? Will you be saved by grace alone? May God bless His word to your hearts. I'm going to hand back over to you, Reverend Park. Thank you.